Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Rhythm and beats.
On Point of View.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Look at you. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, you are a rock star.
Oh, well, we needed some good times today.
Let me tell you. Welcome to the weekend.
Yo.
Welcome to the weekend.
When's Agalani? What is happening? What is
Welcome
happening?
Oh my goodness. So you've got quite a selection today. What are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about famous duo, songwriting duos.
Yeah.
Because you always hear about like Paul McCartney and John Lennon and Carole King and Jerry Goffin, but like you never hear about the R&B guys.
Yes.
And we've had some phenomenal songwriting duos. So this song, She, is by a band called Chic. They were like a disco band and they had two prominent members, Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards.
Yes.
And they met as friends at school. And they formed this band called Chic, and they really got popular. This specific song, although it's not their biggest song, it was a number one hit. It samples like a song called Happy Days Are Here Again. So it's got that in the song, and then it's also got About a Quarter to Nine. So both songs are from the Great Depression era. And what Nile Rodgers was trying to do was like, remind people of the hardships that happened in the 1930s, but also reflect on the hardships that people were going through in the late 1970s. But the beauty of this song is so iconic because it is actually the epicenter of the hip hop world. So when the song came out, it had such a definitive hook that a lot of DJs in the hood, in the Bronx, were playing the hook on songs at street parties, and then they would rhyme over the hook. And everyone thought it was such a vibe, and everyone was doing it, and there was no issue, and Nile Rodgers knew all about it. But then he started realizing that some people were recording the song, and then he was like, now you've taken it too far. Like when people are just jamming at a party, it's one thing. But if you're recording it, and so the biggest proponent of this was the Sugar Hill Gang when they did Rapper's Delight, which is basically Good Times without the singing.
Okay.
Anyway, so these guys did very well. They were a phenomenal songwriting duo. And Bernard Edwards, together they wrote We Are Family for Sister Sledge. They wrote the Diana Ross album, Diana. And they wrote for Debbie Harry. And then separately, Bernard wrote for Duran Duran, Robert Palmer, Nona Hendrix, Joe Cocker, Air Supply, Jody Watley, and Rod Stewart. And Nile Rodgers, well, he wrote like A Virgin for Madonna. He wrote for Daft Punk, David Bowie, INXS, Kylie Minogue, Lady Gaga.
Wow.
And the names just go on and on.
Kaya.
Sure. Well, at least we've got the mood up a little bit.
I mean, who can compete with Chaka Khan?
Oh, my goodness. Have you seen her Tiny Desk performance? She does this phenomenal Tiny Desk performance on NPR. It's brilliant. I watched the whole thing. I was like, oh my goodness. She brings a whole band with her.
Wow.
And you know that tiny desk is such a small little space.
Yeah.
She filled up that space with a full band backing vocalist, Diella Ding.
And she's timeless.
She is phenomenal. Mm. And she's doing a tour at the moment coming up with, I think it's Patti LaBelle.
Mm.
And it's her and it's, I can't remember, Gladys Knight. Mm. They're doing a little trio together. But the first song that we heard was Whitney Houston, I'm Your Baby Tonight.
Yeah.
And that was written by L.A. Reid and Babyface.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the sound of the late 1980s going into the 1990s. They played in a band together, but the whole way that they got introduced to Whitney Houston was because Whitney Houston had mega success in the mid-80s going into the late 80s. But the problem was that a lot of people from the urban R&B world felt that she had sold out her sound, that she was too white sounding. And so the culmination of this whole thing was when she appeared at the 1988 Soul Train Music Awards, she got booed off the stage because people were like, you're an imposter. Your sound is just whitewashed. There's nothing, you know, you're not a legitimate R&B singer.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where she met Bobby Brown for the first time. And he had just released his solo album, and he had worked with L.A. Reid and Babyface. And they were like, we need to give you like a more urban sound. And so she was like, well, it worked for you. Let me try it. And so L.A. Reid and Babyface came to like make her more R&B. Wow. And they wrote this song for her, I'm Your Baby Tonight. And they produced the I'm Your Baby Tonight album. But I remember when this song came out, it was like fire.
Yeah.
It was so amazing because it also got like a very 1950s like reminiscent kind of sound. Anyway, so that was Babyface. They then used some, they went to Clive Davis,
yes,
who was Whitney Houston's mentor,
yeah,
and they asked them for some money, and they started up what they would call LaFace Records.
Yes.
And there they discovered Toni Braxton, they discovered Pink, Usher, Outkast.
Pink discovered by them.
Yes. And so they just blew up and they became huge. But eventually, Arista landed up buying LaFace Records. L.A. Reid became the CEO of Arista after Clive Davis was fired. And Babyface just started doing his own thing and went full into production. And L.A. Reid became more of a record executive. And so he did Arista, then he went to Island Def Jam, and he messed that up. And then he went to Epic, and then he started his own company called Hitco. And he was also a judge on X Factor. So, and Babyface just became like this iconic producer. And he's the only producer in history to win the Grammy Producer of the Year Award 3 times in a row.
Hello.
And he's won it 4 times.
Oh.
So,
wow.
Iconic. And then with Chaka Khan, that was Ashford and Simpson. So
yes,
they wrote that for her. But the big thing with Ashford and Simpson is that they came to Motown in the late 60s to try and spice up the sound. Up to that point, Holland Dozier Holland had written most of their songs. And Ashford and Simpson, who are a married couple, they came in specifically to spruce up the Motown sound. And then in the 1970s, they went solo and started recording their own music as Ashford and Simpson.
Yeah.
But then they were still producing songs like I'm Every Woman was one of them.
Look, we don't have much time.
No.
So we're going to leave with Missy and Janet.
Yes. So Janet Jackson, prior to Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, she was nobody, actually.
Yeah.
Although she was a Jackson, she released 2 albums. Both of them were flops.
Underdog.
Anyway, so Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis actually came out of the Prince roster. They were in a band called The Time. Prince fired them, and they started their own company called Flight Time Productions, and they were introduced to Janet Jackson, and they just exploded her career. After Janet met Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, Control came out, Rhythm Nation, Velvet Rope. It was just a string of hits, one after the next. So that was, the song you're going to hear is All For You, which was Janet Jackson's last number one hit. And then the other is Missy Elliott. So Missy Elliott was at school and she did all these talent contests, and one of her neighborhood friends was Timbaland. And Missy and Timbaland landed up doing a lot of production together and writing together. And they wrote for Aaliyah, they wrote for Tweet, they wrote for 702, the band 702. They wrote for a whole lot of artists. And then eventually they broke up. But actually, it was because of Missy Elliott that Timbaland got his break in the industry.
Wow.
So she's the one that brought him in.
Wow.
So, yeah, get your freak on.
Sheldon, thank you. We'll see you next
week. We are dancing out of here, girl.
Thanks, Sheldon.
Click kaya959.co.za. This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.